Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try! Oh! Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Hello and welcome to the show. Melbourne Storm are the first team through to the grand final. 30-0 their win over the Broncos last night. They, of course, now will wait the winners of tonight's Cowboys-Roosters game. And we have a special guest in the studio. Obviously, Wendell Saylor sits across from me as we speak. And James Hooper is there. Ryan Girdler. Josh Reynolds sits in the middle. How are you, my friend?
Good, thank you, mate.
Lovely to have you here for the entire show. How are you feeling? You obviously had a bit of a break since the end of the season.
Yeah, mate, I'm good. You know, it's hard to watch the semis. This is my first year I've played in the semis, so it is tough to watch. But at the same time, it's good to have a break.
It gets easier coming from me, I know.
There's a lot of players that, you know, when their season's over, they get away. They can't wait to get away from the game. You're not one of those. You like to watch the games and sit there and think, what if? Or you just love the game that much that you want to see the results.
Yeah, it's probably not the what ifs, Gerds. It's probably, yeah, I just really enjoy the game. You know, it's I would be lying if they said there wasn't a bit of jealousy there because, you know, as you know, it's the best time of the year and everyone wants to be a part of it. But it's just good. It's different. Even though last night it was 30-0, like it wasn't a 30-0 game. The semi-final, the first end part of that game was a good grind. And yeah, it is good to watch. So yeah, I'll still be watching, mate.
There's plenty to get through this afternoon, this evening. Of course, I think Dell, you and Gerds, you'll be calling tonight's game as well.
Yep.
So you've got this till 3 o'clock here. Then you've got a little break.
Yes.
We can come to my daughter's baby shower for a while, perhaps, and then you go back to call the game.
Yeah. Now that we've got Josh Reynolds in here, I was hoping to get a bit of an early mark, because my young bloke plays at 2:30, so Tristan, the Dragons, play. He's still got a team in.
Yeah, the Dragons. Absolutely.
Yeah, the Dragons. They're playing Manly. Manly are an eighth. Have come from eighth, so that's going to be a tough one. So if Brad McNamara gives me a bit of an early mark, but if not...
So this is you requesting it right here, live.
No, but I'm working till 3 if he wants me to, but if he wants to give me an early mark, we'll say be it. But Josh Reynolds, he's a star. He's the next big thing.
Hey, thank you. I've got to go too.
Well, given that, Josh, obviously many people know you, know for the exploits at the Bulldogs, know you're heading for the West Tigers next season, but do they really know Josh Reynolds? So we have a little segment when guests come in here. It's called this.
Getting to know you.
Yeah.
Getting to know all about you.
That's what it's about.
Great track.
Yeah, isn't it good?
Yeah.
Macklemore does that, I think.
He might have to shoot that up a bit on it.
Isn't it Macklemore? Not Macklemore?
Oh, is it? Yeah. Wait. No,
I think so.
No,
it's Macklemore.
Do you know that?
Glorious.
Glorious. Well, that's the song.
Yeah.
It's Glorious. 133353, is it Macklemore or Macklemore? I'd like to know, because you can't just criticise somebody if your information is incorrect.
I've got to say to you, just quickly, sorry about your cats last night. Your cats got knocked out.
Yeah, the Catters. You can't believe it. The danger up front. What happened, Tony? What happened to the Catters?
It's so good. You pretend to love a team and then they get knocked out. You don't even care. This is not about you. It's not about you, Wendell. It's not about you, Hoops. Okay. G'day, Hoops.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah. I haven't heard your voice yet. You well?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, just got back from Melbourne. Ripping game last night in the Storm. They're on a bit of a roll. So.
You know, Josh Reynolds, what I've done, I went to, on the website, first date questions from eHarmony. And I thought I'd ask, they're sort of the questions you're supposed to ask to break the ice and you get to know people.
Oh, okay.
So this is, I think it's perfect in terms of getting to know you. You a TV or movie person?
Movie.
Yeah. Okay. What's the last movie you watched?
What I watch?
You're not much of a movie person, are you?
No, I watched The Firm.
The Firm, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Wow, a John Grisham novel.
Great movie.
Okay, that is a good film. Yeah. What was the last book you read?
Not much of a reader, mate. probably one of Dez's playbooks on the workout. Honestly, that's probably the only thing I have to read.
That's a classic. That'll be worth more money now.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, but my whole iPad's wiped now.
It'll be next to Wendell's in the $2 rack pretty soon.
Josh Reynolds?
That's not very nice, guys.
No, I'm sorry.
We're getting to know Josh Reynolds, who's joining us for the entire show. You a cat or a dog person?
Either. Neither.
Neither?
Either. Nah, neither. Not a big animal fan.
It's me.
Wow. Yeah. It's me downfall with... I'm single, mate, and yeah. And that's my biggest downfall. When I tell them that, they're like...
That's a deal breaker. Right?
Yeah, it is. So, I can't. I just never had it when I was growing up, and... Yeah, neither. I'm probably more dogs.
Bulldogs. What, you hate dogs less?
Yeah, hate dogs less.
Then you hate cats.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you cook?
I do cook.
Okay.
Yeah, I've lived by myself for a bit, so I've had to learn to cook. I'm not very good.
What's your go-to?
I like the odd spag bowl. Nice and simple, yeah.
Nice, I
live with Matty Frawls there. You have to ask him. He takes a lot of the brunt of the cooking.
Send your mum... Did you stay in the house that you grew up in until what age?
I'm 28, so probably about 21. I moved out.
In the same house all that time?
No. We moved heaps of times, okay. Mate. Yeah, around Belmore. Right. About 10 different places in Belmore we lived growing up. But yeah, when we lived in my grandmother's place, it was in the middle of Belmore, so I went there a fair bit.
Okay. Last question from me: why did you try against the Dragons? What did it mean to you, the Bulldogs? It meant the end of the Dragon season.
I didn't try. I had one try and I was off.
Yeah.
I kicked them up, but yeah. Sorry about that, mate. I know it's a touchy subject for you. We've spoken about it six times since we've been here. But it's just one of those things, mate, isn't it? The poor Dragons.
But you love the Dragons. The Dogs have had the Dragons measure for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah, mate. We've been pretty lucky against the Dragons.
No, you're not lucky. That's what you said there.
But that's
said...
the thing too, you know. Like, as a Bulldogs fan, as a player, the only thing the fans say is beat Parramatta and beat the Dragons, yeah. And that's all they care about.
Well, they care about more than that. Yeah. Ask Des. They care about more than that.
Like a coach, yeah.
They did it in a crucial game there. All right, plenty. There's teams that are still alive. Three: the Storm beating the Broncos 13-0. We'll get there very shortly. Saturday Triple M NRL doing it for Bryden's Lawyers. Our mates at Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.
Psycho Killer.
As Triple M rocks the footy on a Saturday afternoon. 30-0 was the final scoreline. The minor premiers, Melbourne Storm, become the first team through to the 2017 NRL Grand Final. The Broncos are gone. I'm not sure the 30-0 reflected the game completely. The Broncos were certainly 8-0 only at halftime, and they were certainly in that game. But the back end, Melbourne got the job done, Del.
Yeah, look, they certainly did. To go down there to beat Melbourne, I think Parramatta showed, you know, you got to stick with them and there's going to be opportunities and you got to take them. The Broncos in the first half, they played, mate, their game plan was pretty good. You know, they took them wide, on the edges, they moved them around. But when they got in their 20-metre zone where you have to convert those opportunities, they just kept bombing them. They just kept trying to go through the middle. You can't go through the middle. You got to go wide and use James Roberts or Moga. And even that time, I think there was a 2-on-1. Moga to Oates reminded me of Jarryd Hayne with Brett Morris. Mate, they're opportunities you've got to take early in a game because they just build confidence. Their defence was outstanding, Melbourne, last night. Even when Vunivalu dropped the ball with a line wide open, you know, you don't see Melbourne, you know, turn over that much ball. And I think Cameron Smith, unlike him, there was 2-7 tackle sets that he kicked dead. So, you know, there's a few things there for the Broncos, but they knew they were down at 8-0 at half time. They were lucky to only be down 8-0. And I think Craig Bellamy said it in the post-interview, that he knew that, yeah, they were lucky. But, mate, just in the second half, they just blew them away, didn't they?
Oh, they were classy. Yeah. They were classy. The Broncos were right in it in the opening half. I thought Melbourne had a little bit of stage fright and actually had a little bit of the jitters. Uncharacteristic mistakes that they don't normally make. You touched on those 2-7 tackle sets, Cameron Smith rolling the ball dead. But Suliasi Vunivalu dropping the ball, he never does that. And they just couldn't quite execute or convert. When they did eventually get to 8-0, I thought that was a crushing blow for the Broncos psychologically, right on the stroke of half-time, Tone. So you can imagine going into the sheds and you've been in this arm wrestle and you've been in good field position and you've been trying to pull the trigger, but you haven't been able to quite get there. Melbourne's defence was absolutely magnificent.
It was the back end of those sets for the Broncos that you had a concern about, Gerds?
Yeah, I thought their plan, I think everyone knew how they were going to approach the game. They were going to sort of, you know, get the ball a little bit wider, pull Melbourne defence apart, and they didn't want to get sort of caught up in that battle through the middle of the field where Melbourne could get some numbers into tackles. And it worked really well for Brisbane. I mean, Blair and Thaiday early on were making really good yards, just, you know, two or three off the ruck. And yeah, it was just then after they'd get wide, they'd go sort of to the sidelines, they'd get themselves in really bad positions for their kicks. So therefore, Melbourne are great at, you know, pressuring kickers. So they were able to get out and put a lot of pressure on Nicarima and on Milford, and even Boyd found himself kicking there a few times. So, yeah, at some point that was going to come back to hurt him. You're just watching the game, and, yeah, certainly Melbourne were lucky to be up 8-0 at half-time. There was a moment in the game, probably at about 32 minutes, where Brisbane had about four sets on Melbourne's line. They couldn't break them, and they got a penalty, and Benny Hunt goes to the line with the football and throws a forward pass. And I just watched their shoulders all go down at that point where they just couldn't break the Melbourne Storm. And that set of six, Melbourne just, you know, ran it off their own line. They took a lot of confidence out of the fact that the Broncos couldn't score. They put a good kick in, and then a minute later we see Scott set up that try, and then they went into halftime. I think they only had 42% possession at the break. And yeah, Craig Bellamy said they were lucky to be in front, but I thought that was the straw that just broke the camel's back.
It was testament, Tone, I thought, to the Storm's defence, that when they couldn't score, you could just tell that they were holding their nerve, and then once they did get across the line, all of a sudden things could start to really click into gear and roll on. And in that second half, they were clinical. It was good football.
I think as well too with Melbourne, as you're saying, like they defend, like they make you pay. They'll defend for four or five sets,
yeah.
But then you know after that, like they're going to make you pay at some stage, whether it's off a set move or it was that Scott just. An offload.
Yeah,
and you're not catching him.
That was a brilliant play, you know, wasn't it? Like, and Curtis Scott from a young gun.
Yes,
When it's tight and it's a
game
contest
on the line.
And it's sudden, you know, it's a preliminary final. To come up with a play like that, that ball for Addo Carr.
Well, think about everyone's talking about, you know, the Melbourne side of the past and how they've been so reliant on those three players. This year, you know, when the game was on the line, Scott came up with a play. Kafusi came up with two plays that put Billy Slater in, and then Asofa Solomona then nailed the big play. So those three guys are obviously, you know, an integral part of what they get done. But the fact that they've got so many other talented players in their roster make them just so hard to beat. But
also testament the fact that this Brisbane side, it's got James Roberts, Jimmy the Jet, it's got Anthony Milford, it's got Tau Tau Moga. They had a lot of strike power, and they just couldn't find a way to pull points together.
But I think Gertz hit the nail right on the head. Like, Ben Hunt last night, even though he plays hooker, he had to get wide. There was, with Milford and Cody Nicarima, they play a similar style of football, and they just didn't control the game. Even throwing, I think he threw down that left-hand side, Milford threw the cutout pass to Oates, and then Oates doesn't usually drop the ball like that with the line wide open with his body height. They just, there was no composure there. You need composure. Look at Cooper Cronk last night. I said to Josh, mate, he got smashed time and time again, got up. Mate, you know, he was just doing everything right. And that's, I know it's about maturity and that, but that's what they missed. Even last night, Munster, he was injured at one stage. He gets up the next play, goes to the short side, puts a little kick in, a little pressure down that little left-hand side.
I was surprised they didn't come up with an option. We sort of, in the preview, I actually thought that they might have moved Ben Hunt back there for the back end of their set plays because, you know, Milford's 22 years old and not really great at game management at this stage of his career. Not saying that he won't be at some point. And then Nicarima, well, he's really in his first year of first grade, and he's 20 years old and has never played. He's played some, you know, test footy, but he's never played in an arena like that for a prelim final. And I just thought a way to go was, because their plan was working so well on plays 4 and 5, Benny Hunt, who's, you know, got experience, who's been on the big stage, who's got the side to a grand final before, might have just dropped back into the line. They got someone to play dummy half, and then he would have, you know, executed the back end of their sets, got their kicking game, got some repeat sets, built some pressure. Because they're the things that you need to do when you beat the Melbourne Storm. Like, anyone can go with the Storm for periods of time. We saw the Parramatta Eels do that. But you've got to do all the fundamentals, all the little things right to actually beat the Melbourne Storm, because they play the long game. They play for 80 minutes. So it's okay to go with them for 30 minutes and then hope, you know, you score a couple of points and get in front. But you need to have a game plan that's going to last 80 minutes. Yep. And they didn't have a plan B. And so when they were getting themselves in a bad, you know, positions where they needed to, you know, hurry kicks and things like that, the Melbourne Storm were just slowly grinding and grinding and grinding to the point where the Broncos just had no options left.
Del, you mentioned the fact that Cooper Cronk was getting hit quite regularly. Yeah. And, well, Andrew Johns on Channel 9's commentary wasn't terribly flattering about Adam Blair, who, of course, did a lot of that hitting. Have a listen to what he had to say.
There's worry for Cronk in back play here. He goes to the line and passes, and he's hit after he passes.
He's caught this all night.
He'll pass. Oh, it's Adam Blair. Ooh. Surprise. That's a cheap shot. It's as cheap as they come. You got a bloke giving away 30 kilos. big man on little man. He passes the ball and relaxes. We talk about player welfare in the game, duty of care. You got little halfbacks going the line and passing it. You got big burly front rowers smashing them in the back when they're not looking.
Well, can you imagine if he picked up a serious injury out of that or enough to keep him out of next week? This is the worst one because it's in the back.
Our teammates.
The game's tough enough without your creative smaller players having to go to the line in the back of their mind thinking, when I pass the ball, as Smith puts it over, am I going to get smashed in the back or in the kidneys or in the ribs? We talk about duty of care in the game.
Andrew Johns there alongside Peter Sterling last night. Josh Reynolds, as a playmaker, I'm sure you've copped that kind of attention.
Yeah, not that much. Yeah. That was honestly like, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I feel just last night, Brisbane went in with a task. They had to take out Cooper Cronk. And you know what, like, from the Bulldogs' perspective, we'll say for kick pressure, take the kicker down. But that's like with a normal tackle. But then, like last night, like Cooper Cronk wasn't even going to the line and he was getting hit like directly after. And that's, you know, like I have to agree with that. And you know, Blair, whatever, like I've got nothing against him. But it's right, like, it's when you relax and then you get that whiplash, mate. Like, yep. It is dangerous.
The thing is, too, and as Josh said, like he wasn't even really digging into the line. It was clear last night that Sammy Thaiday and Blair were actually sprinting out of the line to do it. So usually, you know, you get the halves, you know, the defensive line sort of holds, he stands next to the guy next to him, and then if the halves come in, you could take a couple of steps forward and you can put a little shot on after he gives the ball, which is kind of simultaneous. But last night what was happening is he would get the ball a couple of metres sort of behind the play of the ball, and these guys were just, you know, angling out at him, coming from inside out and getting him before he was even getting close to the line. Do you know what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
It was like kick pressure, but on play one and two.
Yep.
And it's something that, you know, we shouldn't encourage in our game because it's our playmakers. We need to look after them to some degree.
But I think it goes back to when Brisbane got embarrassed up at Suncorp Stadium. I think you were talking about it before. I reckon Wayne, I reckon the coaching staff, I'm not saying, look, Sam thought I did it. I think he did a bit pretty legal.
Yeah.
But Adam Blair, you know, he plays on the edge. And obviously last night, he obviously went over that. And I'm not sure how Cooper Cronk, I mean, we saw him this morning on the flight. It's part and parcel of what he does, but it's not good for the game.
Did you ask him about it this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a bit of a chat about it. And he said, I said, you know, he copped a few bumps. He said, oh, what do you do?
Yeah.
He said, you know, you say anything about it, nothing happens. Yeah. So he said, you just got to get on with it, which is what he does.
I don't understand why Adam Blair does that. Adam Blair's a tough player, but that's not tough. What he was doing last night, that's not tough. It's just a low act. And like Joey said, it has to be paramount. You got to preserve the playmakers. You can't be taking them out with cheap shots in big games.
I think it's frustration. Like the last month or 6 weeks of Adam Blair's football, but I know he plays like that sometimes. When Adam Blair's playing at his best, when the Broncos made that run a couple of years ago, he was playing hard, straight footy. Like he doesn't need to play at the moment. He just looks like a frustrated footballer, and he knows he's probably on the way out of the Broncos.
I reckon as well last night because Cooper Cronk's one of the best support players in the game, and he's always backing up the middle and that. I reckon that would have been something they spoke about, like taking him out. So if then they make a line break, there's no one there. Because he's always like up the middle too for something. Like if it's on the other side of the field, he's always back in the middle with Slater, isn't he?
That's what Lockie used to do that,
I reckon that's what...
I'm loving this. Five voices. You've got plenty to say on this, but let's take a break and come back and talk more.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah. Look at the Tie Power scoreboard one more time for you. The Storm 30, the Broncos 0, nada. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good.
Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Great to have your company on a Saturday afternoon, and it's great to have the company of Josh Reynolds, who joins us for the show late. Of the Bulldogs, obviously, heading towards the West Tigers. We're slap bang in the middle of the discussion of the Storm's 30-0 win over the Broncos last night. That will take the minor premiers through to next Sunday's grand final, which, of course, you will hear on Triple M. We were talking about the action last night and Adam Blair's late hit on Cooper Cronk. A little later, we'll hear from Cooper Cronk himself from after the game last night. Plenty more. The Darius Boyd, he played, he went on, obviously didn't last the entire game. Josh, you, similarly in your last game for the Bulldogs, you came on, scored the try against the Dragons, went off. You can understand, though, his reasoning and belief in himself that, yes, he needed to do the job.
Yeah, 100%, man. I think it's more for him, too. He's the leader of that team, and he probably he knew in his head he wasn't 100%, but he just wanted to get out there for the team. And you know, you got to take your hat off to him, because I suppose it's semi-final do or die too. He didn't have much to lose. He just wanted to get out there, and you could tell he wasn't 100%. No, I actually felt for him, man, because he was trying so hard, but every time he sort of pulled up, he just looked a bit ginger. But like some people were saying, oh, I'd seen on social media, he shouldn't have played that. But how can you tell a bloke not to go out there for your mates and rip in for one last chance to try and get into a grand final? I just don't understand how people can say that, you know? Yep.
Yeah, and I got to say, like, Darius, yeah, he's a bloke. He loves the Broncos so much, but also it was a tough week for him too, because he lost his grandmother, and his grandmother helped bring him up. So mentally and physically, I think he feels like he owed the club and owes those players so much, and I think he wanted to be out there. I think his grandma used to take him to footy games and all that sort of stuff and that. So for him, you know, it would have been very tough last night, because he wouldn't have wanted to come off, but he probably knew, and I think we said it before half-time, you could tell when he was... You know, Cam Smith, I can see what Cam Smith was doing, just trying to make him run and run, and he was going at 70%, if that, and I felt sorry for him, but that wasn't the problem, mate. Like, that wasn't the problem in their game. Like, I know bringing that ball back, mate, they just didn't have, you know, those clutch players around the ruck.
If the Broncos were flying, coming into that and won their last three convincingly and had a player at the back that was doing a great job, Nikarima was going really well and Benji was at half back and they had a lot of momentum, I'm thinking that they just probably would have, you know, not played Darius. But the fact that they sort of limped through their last couple of games, they were all saying, Darius, when's he back? He's such an important part of their side. I think they had to roll the dice.
Yeah, you're spot on. They needed him. They needed him because their attack had been stuttering somewhat. They only scored 13 points the week earlier against the Panthers. So they really wanted him to play, but it was a little bit of a risk.
We talked about Cooper Cronk getting the late hit. What about Billy Slater after he scored that try late in the game? The knee was already strapped. Kahu landing on top of it. That was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, unnecessary and low, Tony. Yeah. I don't understand why. Jordan Kahu, to me, looks a good player.
And he's a good bloke too, mate.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. No. I think it was a brain snap, bad decision at an inopportune time. And Billy... It's been probably the best story of the year is Billy Slater's comeback. Yeah, the fact that we weren't sure if he was going to be able to play football again. Now he's in a grand final. He's played for Queensland. He'll be selected for the Kangaroos again. And to risk losing a player of his magnitude with a play like that, just stupid.
But even Cam Smith, you can see Cam Smith, and you know this, Josh, he doesn't give it to too many people, and he's not that sort of person, you know, but he just vented.
He called him a grub.
Yeah, he didn't miss.
Yeah. The noise for when Billy scored that try, I mean, to be in that stadium, and I don't know if it came through on TV, but the noise in that stadium after Billy scored that try, that was kind of like, you know, he was... back, and it was such a decisive time in the game. That stadium, while we went to the video ref, and I'm not sure why we
don't
did,
know where.
But that minute was just you couldn't hear yourself. It was unreal.
And he's gotten into. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. As Dale said, though, you know, we all have brain snaps. I've done them. You know, honestly. But and he's probably a good bloke, and that's the only time I've ever seen him do something like that.
Yeah.
Frustration, the game, it all gets to you, mate. Sometimes, and sometimes you don't even. He probably didn't mean to do it, mate. To be honest, like he just come in, and he's not thinking. Who it is? Like he's it's Billy Slater,
and I'll put him
out
of the grand
final. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just happens. You know,
it's the game.
Billy Slater, of course, is gone now. I think clear into second place on the all-time try-scoring list behind Ken Irvine.
Past Steve Menzies. Steve Menzies texted me. I thought he's filthy beaver.
Let's hear from the great man from after the game last night.
Billy Slater, he enters the history book, second greatest try scorer all time on his own with you, Brent Reed.
Must be nice to hear, Billy.
Oh, yeah, those things are always nice, I suppose. And when you're as old as me and played as many seasons as me, I suppose those things come every now and again.
You had a couple of tough years, Billy. This must be why you fought your way back, huh?
Yeah, it certainly does. It makes it all worth it. And I was always willing to put in the hard work to get back to this position. I didn't know if it was going to let me do it, but I was certainly going to give it a go. And these moments are why you play footy the next week. It's going to be great, and I'm looking forward to next Sunday.
Up to you, boys.
Hey, Billy, it's Del, mate. Well done, mate. We know what you can do when we know what Cam can do, but these young blokes, you know, have stood up for you. Bunivalu, Scott tonight, just really confident against James Roberts there. You must be really proud of Kapusi and that and the way they're playing at this club.
Yeah, they've certainly come into their own. They're playing some great football. You know, Curtis Scott, he's a tough kid. He's from Cronulla. He came down here and he had to bide his time to get his opportunity. And now he's playing in the grand final. And I think he came of age a couple of weeks ago when he He manned up against Joey Leilua, who's one of the hardest guys to tackle in the competition, and he's done a great job on him, and he's done a great job on another exciting player in James Roberts today. So he's playing some great football, and he's got a great combination on that left edge.
Hey, Billy, Ryan Girdler, mate, congratulations. What do you take out of tonight's performance into next week?
Oh, we'll take a lot, Gerd. So obviously, we didn't complete great in the first half. We spoke about that at halftime, and we're probably lucky to be up 8-0 at half time. We defended really well the whole game, and that's what we've done consistently through the whole year. So usually what you do through the whole year is what comes out in finals, and we'll be looking to take that defensive effort into next week. But hopefully we can complete a little bit better at the start of the game and not put that pressure on ourselves.
All grand finals are special. Does this one just mean that little bit more to you, knowing the journey that you've been on?
I'm not sure. I'll let you know on Sunday night. But they're all very special.
Do you reflect through the week? Do you think back at you know, the last couple of years and take that all into consideration?
Yeah, you don't really reflect a lot during your career, but I think as you get older, you do.
We reflect every day up here, mate. We're always reflecting.
I've got plenty of time for that. But look, it's the last couple of years have been tough, and I've really enjoyed my football this year. You certainly... don't take it for granted after you've been through what I've been through over the last couple of years, and I'm just looking forward to enjoying this year, and we'll see how we go.
So, Billy, surely you got to go again, mate. You still got it. You still got it. Two tries tonight.
Yeah, look, I'm enjoying my footy at the moment, yeah. Dal, and yeah. I just want to enjoy what I've got at the moment, and not look too far ahead. We've got, 9 more days in this season, and then we'll reassess.
And enjoy the fact that's the first time we'll be asked that over the next 9 days, the first of about 600 times. Good on you, Billy.
Enjoy the week, Billy. Mate.
Thanks, guys.
There is Billy Slater talking last night after that 30-0 win. He's a terrific bloke and what a football player. Do you reckon we'll go around again?
I think he will. Yeah. I get the feeling that Cooper's probably done. We know that he's done in Melbourne.
Yep.
I think Billy's got a little bit more left in him.
Mate, I don't know. He's taken so much to get back. Mate, could you think about, like, just say Melbourne do the job next week, the friendship between Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater. Mate, it's a bit like when Lockie still had another year to go. I know you hadn't been through the same sort of stuff. But if they win next week, Melbourne, I reckon that he might pull the plug, Billy. Just you listen to Nicole and him talk about it so much, and just how hard, you know, and the way that he speaks. I don't know. I hope he goes around another year, because he's definitely another year in him, and he's great for the game.
Well, he'll be picked for the Kangaroos, and he'll be playing in the World Cup.
Yeah.
But I think the grand final will be his 299th appearance for the Melbourne Storm.
Is that right?
So, so I don't know whether
will
have
he has a play
bearing on whether he goes around or not, but you'd have to think.
He comes back for one game and then retires. Just some housekeeping for you. If you want to ask a question of Josh Reynolds later on, we will put these questions to him. It's 133353. You can call later on and we'll do that. But also, if you want to tweet a question, MMM_NRL for Ask Josh. He will answer anything you put to him. The other piece of housekeeping is that it is Macklemore. Thank you for the 14-year-old who called in. Macklemore. I apologise to you, Ryan Girdler. I apologise to Macklemore.
Don't let it happen again, Tom.
Yeah. Okay. Glorious, mate, glorious.
I'll try to be more accurate in future. This is Saturday MMM NRL. Thanks to our mates at Brydon's Lawyers for protecting your future. For free legal advice, just ask the question at askbrydons.com.au. Saturday MMM NRL. We do it for Brydon's Lawyers. Josh Reynolds is our special guest, sitting alongside James Hooper, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires, sharing the afternoon with you. Of course, 6 o'clock coverage begins for tonight's other preliminary final, where the Cowboys will take on the Roosters at Allianz Stadium for the right to go through to play Melbourne. Ryan Girdler, what's on your mind?
Well, my extended family are over here at the moment, Tony. My catcher's father.
Oh, the in-laws.
My father-in-law and his sisters and Herbert. They're all out here at the moment, so they're having a good day. I think they're going in the city. I've actually got them pretty good tickets for the game tonight in there at Allianz. So they're going to go to their first. Well, Heinz, the father, he's been to a couple of NRL games before, but the extended family haven't, so they're going to be going to the game tonight. So I think they're going down to Bondi today to do some stuff, and then they're going to come into the footy.
Right.
So it'll be really good.
And I understand they're listening, is that right?
I think they're listening in, so have a great day at Bondi, and I'm sure...
I thought you were going to do it in German.
Ich bin heute Richtig glücklich.
Let's break that down, shall we?
What does that mean, please?
Oh, they're having a good day.
Ik bin.
Oh, well, I am.
I am, yeah. Is I am. Yeah, John right. Kennedy, famously.
Oh, really?
Ik bin, yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So anything, what was the second half of it? Just, are you? I'm having a good day.
Yeah, have a good day.
Okay. And what have you taken to anything special during the week?
Yeah, we went to Kingsley's down in your way, Woolloomooloo the other day.
Oh,
I know you
like
getting down there.
We
had some,
place, yeah.
had some, got him into some mud crap.
In my way.
Oh, well, that's where you hang out. I know what I have. China Doll and all
you,
those places.
You and the Fordhams and all that.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, so we went down there and had some Singapore mud crab, which was just
I preferred you when you were talking German, actually.
and we've got some good things planned over the next week or so.
Excellent. It's one of those things, just finding out what is happening with Des Hasler. I'm asking you, James Hooper, what is the latest? Is there going to be legal action since his Tuesday dismissal from the Bulldogs?
Yeah, for sure there's going to be legal action, Tone, because it's a bizarre situation where the Bulldogs, and Josh would know because he's been part of the club for his entire career up until now when he joins the Tigers next year, but the Bulldogs announced this, that Des had a new two-year contract back in April.
Yep.
And then now the chairman, Ray Dibb, has decided that that particular heads of agreement that was drawn up was non-binding, and so therefore the contract doesn't exist anymore and he doesn't owe Des any money. So they're two very different versions of events.
But knowing those quotes Des from Hasler, Ray Lane Castle, which have been out there about, you know, we're looking forward to the next two, Des is looking forward to the next 2 years. The word contract is mentioned in that. All of those things, clearly, that's going to be any court action, they'll be straight, those quotes on the table, won't they?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, look, obviously, when it gets legal and when the legal eagles get a hold of it, you'd have to think it's a pretty black and white open and shut case. The Bulldogs publicly spruiked everywhere that Des had agreed to a new two-year extension and that he was going to be the head coach for 2018 and 2019. They have terminated that arrangement. And so, therefore, you would think that they are going to be liable for a fair payout.
There needs to be compensation because he's been out of the marketplace now, since, you know, April or whatever.
Do you know what I reckon they're doing? Do you know what I reckon they're doing? I reckon, because they've got these elections coming up in February, right? I think this is a smother, just a stalling tactic until the elections are on. So they can say, no, we didn't have to pay Des a cent.
Yeah.
We drew up that heads of agreement. It's non-binding. No, we haven't paid him a cent. It hasn't cost the club anything, right?
Yep.
Then they'll get re-elected at the elections and then they'll settle out of court for an undisclosed figure, 500, 600, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But they'll shake hands and they'll do it like that.
Wow. Okay, how much are you entitled to say? What was your thoughts on Tuesday? Obviously, you've been through a lot there at the Bulldogs, no longer there, heading to the West Tigers, as Hoop says. What did you feel when that happened?
Yeah, mate, it was a shock. Because like you said, and it was weird. Like, I can talk about it now because I'm not there and stuff. But before, so say 2 months ago, they're fully backing him, right? Like they're saying, yep, he's our coach. And Des is going, like, obviously going along. He thinks he's got a 2 year deal. And then, like Hoop said, now it's just totally changed. Like,
and did all the players believe that he was going to be there?
Yeah,
and obviously, the players 100%. That are coming in, like Kieran Foran, and obviously that was in their heads.
Yeah, I find that how that's going to work, you know, because obviously Kieran come to the Dogs, obviously, on the back of theirs 100%. You know, they've got a close relationship, and you sort of wonder, like, you know, if you're a player coming from another club, like they got you there, Des got you there, and now he's not even there. So how do they approach that? You know, look,
I think it's a very poor look for the club, Josh, the way that this has been handled. I think it's an exercise in how not to do business. A deal's a deal. If you look someone in the eye and you shake their hand, then you got to do the right thing, Tone. And look, we've seen plenty of clubs in the past sack coaches. But they pay them out. They pay them what their dues are. And I just think the whole process, the way that it was handled, it was disrespectful to Des. It was Des by a thousand cuts. Like, there was leaks coming out of the club left, right and centre all the time.
Yep.
Poor Raylene Castle was constantly up front having to tell everybody that it was lock, stock and barrel Des was going to be there. And then behind the scenes, we're all being told that he wasn't going to be there.
Yeah.
And it was disrespectful to the playing. Mate. Yeah, it was disrespectful to the playing group as well, because their captain, James Graham, has been forced to move on. They're now paying him to play for another club. They've lost their local junior and favourite son, Josh Reynolds.
Local hero, look
and
at
him. the coaches out the door.
Yeah, like, it's a mess.
It's chaos.
Yeah. And their salary cap's still all out of whack. And they've got two players waiting to be hopefully registered by the NRL.
Okay, let's take the methodology out of it. What happened? Yeah. I mean, in terms of the method, the way it happened, we all agree that was rubbish. Is the decision right?
Yes.
Yeah, Des.
Yeah, the decision is right. Look, I'll be guided by people like Michael Ennis, who's been part of the Bulldogs club, played in many seasons with them, and was the captain of the club for a period of time. And when he said about 2 months ago that he felt as though Dez's time with the Bulldogs was up, when I listened to his reasoning, it just made sense. And speaking to other people in and around the club, it did feel as though it had just run its course. That there's times in football where, like what we saw at South Sydney, the message stops hitting the mark and you have to shake things up and try a different direction. So, yeah, I think the decision was the right one, Tone, but the way that they went about it was all wrong.
Yeah, I might say too, though, like, I agree. I think, you know, it's same as me. You know, everyone says the Bulldogs as a club needed a change in the halves, and I'm happy to say it. Like, I'm happy to say it because maybe I need a change in my life. But from a player's perspective, I just hate the people saying, like, it's a push from the players, because it wasn't. Like, it's honestly hard for me to bag Dez. He gave me everything, mate. Like, he gave me my first start. When he came to the club, I was off the bench as a hooker. I didn't really know what position it was. He came there and said, look, mate, you're going to be the 5'8".
Yep.
And then, how can I bag the bloke? Do we need to change our game plan at stages throughout the year? Yeah, it's up to Dez, but, you know, it's up to like, us as players too. So I don't like how the coaches cop all the brunt. You got sometimes the players, like us as players, and players have, like, we sort of, like, you hear the Josh Jacksons that say, mate, it's us. So
how much input were you guys sort of allowed to have in relation to the way you were playing and some of Dez's strategy over the years?
Yeah, good. It is hard too, you know, because you don't know how far to push it, right? Like, because he's obviously our coach and he's the boss and you've got to follow these rules. But then again, sometimes, you know, it's up to the player to go a bit out of there, isn't it? You know, like, sometimes in a game, I'd be like, I've got to try something here. You know, like, I have to. But then, as well, you do have the game plan in the back of your mind. It's a hard one. It's a hard one. But like you said,
afar, it looked like you guys were playing to a really restricted style of football. And it looked like that you had some guys there that, you know, needed to play a different way. And I would understand if you were playing a certain style and being successful. And I think the thing that we all, as, you know, lovers of the game, had trouble sort of digesting was the fact that what you guys were doing wasn't being successful. It was originally. But then when you stopped being successful, it didn't evolve and it didn't change. And in the end, you ended up the way that the club is now. Did you not feel on the way sort of through, if you're sort of part of that journey, that you guys needed to front Dez and say, maybe we should try this, or maybe we should do things a different way, or wasn't he open to that sort of communication?
You know, he was, mate, but, this year, honestly, the biggest thing that I've learnt from this year is just confidence, mate. We lacked confidence all year. We really did. You know, I watch our games after, and it frustrates me. Because there was things, like you said, that things that used to work, we just weren't doing them as good as we used to, and there was some games where, you know, we just feel like I'd go into a game that confident, going, oh yeah, like we'll go in here, we'll do this, we'll do that, but then we get to the game and there was a bit of like something bad would happen, and we just didn't react to, you know, we'd have an error, we'd have a penalty, and we just wouldn't react to negative things happening in games, yep, where I felt in the past we'd done it better.
Yep.
So for me this year, 100%, like even me playing, it was definitely confidence. And, you know, like you said, mate, you have to roll with the game too, though. You know, that when things aren't working, we have to change it, and we didn't do that enough.
Did you change things for the last three games? Because it looked as though the shackles, you just played football again.
You know what that was, mate? Honestly, the last three games, I put that down to Mick Leisha. If you watch his game, the last three games.
Yeah, well, he was running the ball.
Leisha or Leisha?
We'll go Leisha. It's Leisha, man. No, but honestly, like, he was just running. He was creating another dimension of attack for us.
Yes.
But obviously, it took so much. I didn't play. I played in one of the last three.
Yep.
But even watching from the sideline, he was just taking pressure off the halves, Falls and Moses. And, mate, he was just running amok.
Did he break ranks to do that?
I think... I think he did a bit. He went a bit outside the circle because he just thought, he had one great game. I think it was the Titans, and then he probably just said, you know what, for me, the better the team, I'll have to do this.
All right, hold those thoughts. We'll continue with this. I want to know also what happened with
Dez. What are you winding us up for, Tony?
No, what's happening? We just have things, parts of the business.
Come on,
look, I'm driving. I'm driving the bus. You're just sticking your ass out the window, all right? I've got to get us from point A to point B.
That's me. I've got the ass.
Exactly.
Me.
I want to talk about that, maybe who will take over at the Bulldogs as well. Who you think? Does it have to be somebody who is a Bulldog? All that kind of cultural thing. Maybe get your calls as well. 1-333-53 if you want to hoe in on this discussion as well. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. For free legal advice, just ask the question at askbrydens.com.au.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
The time to rewrite history is now.
With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
Josh Reynolds is with us on this Saturday afternoon, and we're talking about his coach at the Bulldogs, of course. Neither of them are there now. Des Hasler has been sacked. Josh Reynolds, of course, will be playing for the West Tigers next week. What are you pointing at, Wendell Saylor?
Oh, how good's Josh Reynolds' tiger tattoo? He's got a tiger tattoo already. Up the tiger.
Great final tattoo. And what are we thinking about in terms of Des Hasler? There's all the discussion about who should go in there, the whole thing about the culture of the Bulldogs, and it needs to be somebody who is a Bulldog who would take over. Is that still the push, James Hooper?
Yeah, there certainly is a big feel that way, Tony. I think it'll be Dean Pay. I think Dean Pay will be the new Bulldogs coach. I think Mick Potter will most likely also go in as his number two and as an assistant. They both played for the club. They both understand what it means, like Josh, to be part of the Belmore fabric. And that's the way they're going to do some interviews. They'll go through a process. It'll take maybe 2 weeks for it all to get rubber stamped, but I think it's going to be Dean Pay.
It's interesting, though, that they're keen on that fabric when part of that fabric is sitting in the studio with us right now, Josh Reynolds, and he's not going to be at the club. I mean, what do you feel about that?
Yeah, mate, like we were saying before, Giz, like if there's a better person to be the coach, it doesn't have to be a Bulldogs person, because you create your own. The players, that playing group, will create their own culture and their own. But for me, I think it has to be Jim Dimmick. I really do. Like, he's been there for so long now, under Des, and Jimmy is a Bulldog, like we said. He's got everything it takes. It's just weird. He just never seems to get a mention. But as a player, Jimmy helped me so much, especially with my defence. Like, when I first started, I was missing probably 4 or 5 tackles a game, and I had to fix that. And Jimmy just he hounds you, mate, in a good way. And he's got the good mix.
Yeah,
he can be a mate, but then he can also be, like I said, real stern on you. So, mate, I think it has to be.
I think you know, Jimmy, and he'd be a good mentor too, because I think he's got 4 daughters too. And as a father, you know, you sort of, when you got the players and that, and I sort of think when Kevin Moore got sacked, he was a caretaker coach there for a while. So, you know what, sometimes you can be too nice, and they say nice guys finish last, because he's just not putting his hand up all the time. He says he's happy to do it, but sort of he's not forcing himself. Man, it'd be good to see him get an opportunity, but they talk about getting that Bulldog's toughness back. Man, he's as tough as any Bulldog I've played against, you know, over the years.
Adrian has called 1-333-53. G'day, Adrian.
Yeah, g'day. And Josh, all the best, mate, at the Tigers, mate. I think someone leaving that Canterbury club, it'd be the best thing ever. Because, I mean, I never saw one player improve under Des Hasler. And it was three years of the worst football, you know, unfortunately, I've ever seen. Win, lose or draw, which is dreadful to watch.
Who, me or the team?
No, not you.
Oh, man. That's all right, then.
Hang on. I think you'll blossom away. Just like, I mean, you look at Michael Ennis. He goes to Cronulla and he produces numbers and stats even better than Cameron Smith. Why Des Hasler dumbdowns everyone's play, I don't know. And back-ended contracts, he's actually left the club in a complete train wreck. And James Graham has become such a sycophant. His comments about Des Hasler. Yeah. And obviously that's because, you know, he's left him with this huge contract. And honestly, James Graham's form's gone way off as well.
Hang on for a second there, Adrian. But you, I know, Josh, you are good mates with James Graham.
Yep. Yeah.
And rate him not just as a footy player, but as an important person around the club.
100%, mate. He's a great person. Mate, I'm gonna have to disagree with you there. I don't think his form's dipped, mate. He's a week in, week out. He does little things that, you know, probably a lot of people don't see. But we see as a team. And, mate, he's not just a player. The things he does off the field to create the good, I suppose, culture as a team is second to none.
Thanks, Adrian. We've got Jade as well. G'day, Jade.
How you going, fellas?
Yeah, good. What are your thoughts?
Yeah,
Josh, as well, I just want to congratulate you, mate. Honestly, like, no matter what anyone says about your playing or anything like that, you've been a legend for the club and an absolute gentleman. So
thank you
for everything, mate. As a Bulldog supporter, we really love you.
Cheers, man. Appreciate it, brother.
I'm just calling because I want to echo what Adrian said. Like, I mean, look, there's going to be a lot of conversation around how they got rid of him and the contract and all that kind of stuff. And that's, I think, a separate conversation. This needed to happen, absolutely. It's been in the pipeline, I think, the whole year. And just like Adrian said, mate, his recruitment, he was responsible for the football club. Everyone knows that he was the boss over there from a football perspective. And under him, I mean, we signed Tony Williams, who turned out to be one of the most dud buys in the history of rugby league, for 600 grand a season over 4 years. Honestly, mate, honestly, it was. I mean, and as a fan looking at it, it's... Oh, look... Of course, and mate, this is not personal. At the end of the day, it's not. And you know what? I think one thing really made it clear as to why he needed to go. The fact that Michael Leisha comes out, and even you today, Josh, saying that, you know, he had to play outside of the game plan in order to have three blinders. Pretty much his three best games in 3 years happened when he went outside the game plan. So that would be like a CEO of a company developing a strategy and then just say one of his reports saying, you know what, your strategy isn't working. I'm just going to go on my own and do whatever I need to.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, actually.
Yeah.
Analogy.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I was just going to say, Jade, so you're obviously a passionate Bulldoggies fan. You understand the game. Who do you think should come in and be the Bulldogs' next coach?
Mate, look, I think if it's not going to be Dean Pay, I think definitely Jim Dimmick. I like what Dean Pay did over at Canberra. I've seen their defence and also just the way that they play. I mean, obviously this year wasn't good for them, but I think last year, just watching the way that they were running around, I really think that, you know, Dean Pay would be a really good asset to the Dogs. And I think Mick Potter was probably given a hard go over at the Tigers as well. So I think given that he's a Bulldog through and through, bring him over and keep Dimmick in some capacity, I reckon. I'd hate to lose him.
Why is it important, though? Why is there so much noise about needing the coach to be an ex-Bulldogs player?
Well, mate, honestly, like, we've been through the ringer as a club, and it's only because of the fact that I think we've had those stalwarts still in the club, like that heritage and the... I mean, everyone throws it around, the family club, but we definitely are a family club, and we've been through so much since our inception, especially in the last 20 years. Like, Des Hasler was, like, in some facets, was a great coach. You can't knock him about that. He got us to two grand finals. You can't do that being a fluke of a coach. But I think his mentality and his style was completely different to the way that the Bulldogs have been used to running their clubs. The fact that he's come in and wanted to run the show completely without any kind of any advice or influence from any of the senior hierarchy, which obviously caused a lot of tension. I mean, now look at this. The board are now being looked at as though they're the solely responsible for the way the club actually is and potentially might get sacked.
Yeah.
All right, Jade, we're going to have to stop it there. We only got 2 more hours in the show to go. Thank you.
It's so good, the passion of
these people and how closely they follow exactly what is going on at their club.
I think it's funny, like, because you'd never, like, just say, for example, Craig Bellamy, right? It happened to Craig Bellamy up in Melbourne. I don't think it'd be the same. Like, no, they wouldn't say, oh, we need someone with Melbourne culture. It's just because Bulldogs is such a club with so much like heritage and so much like, I think it's just, I actually think it is just the, like, honestly.
No, Dragons have a bit of the sense of that.
Dragons,
as well.
Dragons fans. Yeah, but Dragons fans, yeah, they get filthy too. They're going, oh, my job's for the boys, because, you know, at the moment, there's, you know, obviously Paul McGregor's coach, but then there's Ben Hornby, Dean Young, and they sort of get a bit filthy and say, oh, job's for the boys. Well, those blokes have, you know, done their time there. They've, you know, done their coaching through the grades.
I think they just need someone. I mean, Jay touched on a really important point there, where he said basically when Des came in, he didn't want any influence from anyone else that had been at the club for a long period of time. I think as long as the next coach comes in and he's open to that other influence from people that have been around, that's the first thing that you should do when you get into a club. I mean, you should be open to the history of the club, and you should embrace what's already been built, especially the success that the Bulldogs have had, and you should incorporate that into what you do in the future. I think to shut that out is ignorant.
Can I ask you, mate, how was Kelly Egan? He was there for a while, wasn't he, Kelly?
Yeah, he's good, mate. He's at the Tigers now.
Yeah, that's right.
He helped me over there. No, he's good, mate, as well. Yeah, it's same thing. You know, he come over with Des, and, mate, he was really good, and he's got a totally different role now at the Tigers. He's like the manager of the club, pretty much, so... I know he's really good.
I've been playing against him. We used to run over him all the time. It was good.
We've all been run over.
It's great to hear from some, haven't we? It was great to hear from some passionate Bulldogs fans. And I must say, the overwhelming view from a lot of Bulldogs members and fans that I've spoken to is that Dez and the Dogs had grown apart and that it was time for a change.
All right, plenty of time to get into that and other topics in the couple of hours we have to share with you. Josh Reynolds is our special guest. You listen to Saturday Triple M on the NRL on Triple M.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.